Hi, I'm Randy Fay.
And I'm Nancy Lewis.
And we're finally trying to bring you another Hobo Biker podcast.
It's been a few months. We are currently sitting by a fire up in the mountains in Colorado. It's Thanksgiving 2007.
A lot of you know that we came home for a quick trip, and while we were here, discovered that we had pertussis or whooping cough. We highly recommend that you get the vaccination. Anyway, it kind of put a slowdown on our trip, and we're all well. You cannot get whooping cough by listening to this podcast. Guaranteed. We have taken all of the properly recommended things. We were done with all of those in September.
It's about a 100-day illness. You know, you just have to cough and get better. So we are now planning to return back to Guatemala and continue our bicycle trip. We had stopped in Guatemala for 10 weeks and did volunteer work. In Guatemala, there were 6 centers, and we found some amazing things riding around there, working with the women of Friendship Ridge and Kiva. So we wanted to share with you some of our impressions.
We're going to tell you some of the stories, and with the accompanying article on hobobiker.com, we'll have their pictures and maybe we'll have a movie or two so you can see what these women look like that we're talking about. They're just amazing. Nebac region, where we spent a couple of weeks, it's spelled Nebaj, and it's in the far north of Guatemala. If you want to look it up on Google Earth or Google Maps, you'll see it there. Nebac is a region that is way up high, kind of rainy. I can tell you that we bailed on riding our bikes the last 10 miles up there because it was 10 miles in which we would have climbed 5,000 feet. And we just didn't want to do that with our load. It's way up there. But Nebac was devastated in the Guatemalan Civil War, which was essentially from the 60s to the mid-90s, but it peaked in the 80s. And in that time, all the villages in that region were just razed. They were just eliminated. And you can, a lot of people point fingers at the militaristic government at the time. There was a lot going on between the guerrillas and the government at that time. And the people were invariably caught in the middle. And it was brutal. It was just a brutal, brutal time. There's some recovery happening now. That the memory is very strong. We did see a quilt in memorial of the many people who disappeared during that period.
This quilt had each person's name that disappeared somehow sewn or embroidered on a 12 by 12 inch square of cloth. And they sewed together these 12 by 12 inch pieces of cloth and covered this whole square, which the square, I imagine, was 150 feet by 60 feet, maybe larger. There were 3 quilts, actually, and it was just amazing to see. We saw this on the anniversary, the 20th anniversary, of some major massacres that happened in this area, and they were just putting that quilt out there as a memory, memorializing the people and remembering them. And it was just so sad to see the young ages, they'd say, what their name was, what the day they were born and the day that they died. And disappeared, died, who know. We could see that when we talked with many people in the area, how their lives were affected by the Civil War. And they're just recovering.
The people of Nebac speak the Ixil language, I-X-I-L, which is one of the, 21 Mayan languages? Nancy says 22, but it's 21 or 22 or 23 Mayan languages that are spoken in Guatemala. Lots of people don't speak any Spanish. We did meet with groups that spoke Spanish and groups that didn't speak Spanish, but it's always interesting to remember that just because people live in Latin America, they don't necessarily speak Spanish.
The Guatemala is about the size of Tennessee. It's a pretty small country, and it's really amazing to think that there's 22 different Mayan languages plus Spanish spoken there. And so we would interview the women, and some of them didn't speak Spanish, but maybe one or two in the group or one of the loan officers that came with us during our time meeting with the women did. What we were actually doing is that we would go and actually write stories about the women and take their photographs. So we'd go and interview them, and we had a page of basic questions and asking how was their life, what were their dreams, are the children being educated, and just kind of general information about them. And then we would write about that and take photographs and post it on the internet for microfinance funding.
So basically, all of these women were receiving loans for their tiny businesses, for their micro empresas, or their micro businesses, and so they were receiving the loan from Friendship Bridge, but it was being funded through Kiva.org, and so our job was to interview them and write their story and post it on Kiva.org. So we want to tell you about one day that we rode our bikes following the branch manager, Mary, at NABOC, has a little motorcycle that she's very proud of. She's the first loan officer in Friendship Bridge to have one of these, and she rides it with pride. She stands up on it, and she just rides it with pride. Anyway, she rode her moto out there, and we followed her on our bicycles, and we went up, NABOC is kind of in a bowl, and we went up into the cornfields, up and up and up, into one little neighborhood where two women lived that we wanted to talk to. And one of them was a young newcomer of the new generation of women, and the other is a woman that Nancy will talk about first, named Maria Brito, who's very much a woman dramatically affected by the war and living a different kind of life. So we'll talk about Maria Brito first.
Marita is 40. She has four children. And as we went up the cornfields and up past the places that the electricity ran, we found her on the side of the hill in front of her house. Her house was basically just some lumber that was leaning against each other. There was no windows, no doors. There was big gaps. There was different ramblings throughout the property. There was turkeys and chickens roaming around and pigs. And there she came out and she greeted us. And she wears the very traditional Mayan huipil and corta, which is the hand-woven, handmade Mayan clothing that all the women of Guatemala, the Mayan women, wear. And it's a very important piece of their life, their clothing, that shows where they're from and identifies them as from a village. So she comes out. She's kind of a little dusty and dirty, and the place is muddy. It's been raining, and her two children are at her skirt, and she comes out and greets us. Randy and I are by herself. And then she runs in the house and gets her weaving loom, which is a